Thank you again, Mr. Crystal. One thing I failed to mention was to welcome our visitors with us today, or maybe long-term visitors if some are going to be possibly going to school in Columbia. So welcome, and we'll all get to know you a little bit better later on. I was chatting with some friends that I grew up this past week, and one individual said that they oftentimes looked back and liked to remember the glory days, is what they said, in playing basketball. And I guess some would call it the good old days, if you think back and about your past and some of those, maybe it was sports or band or whatever it was, some of those times that you really enjoyed. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking back and remembering those times that you had and thinking about those as good times. You know, when you're in high school and you don't have all of the responsibility that you would have after college, maybe that is the good old days. But now I think back and I remember playing basketball, and I remember what it felt like to play basketball and then the next morning not be in pain. And now I have I have very detailed memories of the last time I played basketball where I could hardly walk afterwards. So those are the memories that come about now. But remembering the positive experiences of the past, it's a good thing from time to time to think about. Maybe you have fond memories hunting the first deer or the first fish that you caught. Looking back on your wedding day and the excitement there. When children are born, major events. Those memories stick in our mind, and we think about those events very fondly. As mentioned, the anniversaries this month, too. But there are even certain smells that can take us right back to that place almost in our minds. You know, it's amazing how the smell works directly with our brain with memory. And I guess there is a article out entitled Smells Ring Bells. And it goes over the science behind certain, when you smell something, it can take you right back to that memory and how it really works hand in hand with the brain. But I remember I used to work in the mall, the clothing store, retail management. And then outside of that booth, seasonally, they would have roasted pecans that they would sell. And, you know, they get tossed around that cinnamon and sugar and butter, caramelizes, and so that was directly in front of us. So for months at a time, it just, you know, working there, you just smell the roasted pecans. And now if I smell that, I think about not roasted pecans, but selling clothes, you know, and that's kind of the way it works. Sometimes at the feast, there's certain smells that we might remember that take us right back to the Feast of Tabernacles. One feast in particular that we were in a condominium up above a Starbucks. This was at Estes Park. And so do you think that the smell of the Starbucks caused us to buy more coffee that feast? And I'll say yes, it did. We bought more Starbucks coffee than I could have ever imagined buying and using your second tithe as well. What did we spend our second tithe on? It was all Starbucks coffee at breakfast, and they have a pretty good breakfast there too. We got familiar with them. But now sometimes, you know, you smell the coffee, or we smell the coffee, takes us back to that little loft and the little stream moving behind it and some of the views that we think about with Estes Park. But maybe that's the same for you and the feast. You have some of those memories from the feast and certain smells. I know those feast sites in Florida, you know, it's like you can almost taste the salt water. You can almost taste the smell of the sand and the ocean. And you smell that, you really can think about that. And it takes you right back to that place. But it's amazing that God has given us this, you know, sense of smell that helps us with remembering things. But it is wonderful to look back from time to time and remember the joyful times, the blessings that God provides, the gifts that come from God. Defining the word remember is to keep an image or an idea in your mind of something or someone in the past, to think of something or someone in the past to cause to come to mind in your mind to keep the information and to not forget the definition of remember. So when Mr. Martin was covering remembering who gives you the blessings, that was going to fit in quite nicely with this sermon. Why is it that God commands us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? To remember the Sabbath day, to not forget. Now here it is, this blessing that comes from God, this gift that He gives you. And He tells us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is it possible that we could forget where a blessing comes from? Is it possible that we could forget where certain blessings come from? They come directly from God. A gift that comes directly from God to impart joy and as a gift in our life. Is it possible that we could forget how important the Sabbath day is to God and to the family of God? You have the God family. And is it possible that we could forget how important that the Sabbath is to the God family? Is it ever possible that we could lose our focus and awareness for the Sabbath day, forgetting this wonderful blessing that God has given us? The Israelites had instructions to keep the Sabbath day, and yet God had to reteach Israel. When they were in the wilderness, God gave them manna, and He gave them manna for 6 days every day, and they were able to gather twice as much on the sixth day, so they would have some for the seventh. Wouldn't be there on the seventh. He gave them their daily bread, provided them this manna day by day. And, you know, He could have done it any way He wanted to, but He was teaching them a lesson. He could have given it to them all in a month. Here's your monthly portion. You can get it whenever you want to. You decide. But He taught them with prioritizing and what to do, how to get it, and how they could do it without it stinking. Because as we know, if you get too much on the fourth day or the fifth day, you'll have worms, it would stink, and boy, that's going to drive home a lesson. So I think it's interesting that God used smell to help teach a lesson on remembering the Sabbath day. And, it's whatever Israelite name you want to think about. You know, I could just see it now, though. Hey, so-and-so, did you forget to take your sandals off? What's that smell? What's that smell coming from? Or, did you not wear your Old Spice today? What's going on here? It's like, wait a minute. He's got the worms and the manna. He got more than what he should have. So news travels fast, I would think, in a camp with something that smells bad. The lesson would be taught rather quickly. I remember working for Social Security Administration, and there was one individual. He would bring fish for lunch, and he would do this quite often, but it would make the entire, lunchroom smell like fish. And they would go out and then make the whole Social Security building smell like fish. And it wasn't a mild fish that he was, cooking either. And so, I think about maybe the Israelites and, hey, tell him not to get the manna again, the double, don't do it this week. Because everybody kind of made it a point. Hey, Gary, you got fish again, don't you? Smells like fish. So maybe don't bring it next time. But anyways, he stopped bringing it after a while because he just got so much from his fellow coworkers. But, God gave them manna, and He gave restrictions on how much to gather, when, how much. And it was to teach the lesson of remembering the Sabbath day and how to keep it properly. He was educating them, re-educating them. Let's turn to Exodus 16 in verse 23. Exodus 16 in verse 23. He had to find out whether they were going to walk in His laws or not. It was a test commandment for Israel, and they had to be tested. Exodus 16 and starting in verse 23, then He said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. So it's still, you're going to test it, you're going to be a little rebellious, and well, let's see if this is true or not. And did this make God happy? And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? You know, it grieved him. Why be rebellious in this way? I'm teaching you. I'm telling you what to do, how to keep it, where the blessing is. But see, for the Lord has given you a Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. You know, it is interesting, the emphasis on that the Lord has given the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives. There's an emphasis. He has given this to you. He gives you this blessing. And there's an emphasis there. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And I asked Jonathan in the car, I said, Jonathan, do you know what manna means? He said, what is it? I said, manna, but do you know what it means? What is it? Well, I told you it's manna, but do you know the meaning of manna? Well, it means what is it? I think we all know that. Okay. So I thought I was clever, but apparently not. So thank you for letting me know that. No. Moving on. Verse 32. When Moses said, this is a thing which the Lord has commanded, fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So I want you to remember this. This is going to be a memorial. Not only that, but fill an omer with it, which is a tenth of an ephah. And, you know, I want you to keep this, and this is going to be seen for the generations to come, generation after generation, and they will see this. As we know, what was one of the things that was in the Ark of the Covenant? We know that it's the golden bowl of manna. So it's interesting that God wanted them to know this, to remember this, and understand what was being taught, and also that he provided for them in the wilderness. So this is to be remembered. So, you know, what a lesson to be learned regarding the Sabbath. And what a lesson that God was teaching them regarding the Sabbath, and to show that he was the provider, that he gave them life. He sustained them. It was day by day. He gave them the daily bread. He was the provider, and he wanted them to recognize that and in the process teach them, reteach them about the Sabbath. And they, being in captivity for so long, here they were, you know, not able to do what they wanted to do in Egypt's rule. And they didn't have that freedom, you know, and here he gives them a rest and he teaches them how to keep it properly. But it's a perfect way to teach them. And you do things in the right order and there's blessings. And you think about maybe a child, you clean your room and maybe there's a reward afterwards. You finish all your chores, I'll have some ice cream for you as well, or a bowl of broccoli, or whatever it is that you want to reward your child with. But he a little bit of a reward system and using food and substance in that way. So for 40 years, he did this. Do you think that they would get it at that point? Do you think they would learn? You know, here they do this day in and day out. What about us? You know, here's been years and years of keeping the Sabbath. You know, is it old and mundane to us, or is it something that we love and look forward to each week? What about us? You know, why does God want us to remember and to continue to remember week after week, year after year? What are we to remember about the Sabbath day to keep it holy? So today I want to look at apropos 7 points to remembering the Sabbath day. Why do we need to remember the Sabbath day? I want to look at 7 points to help us remember. So I will spend a little more time on this first point, but then the final six are going to move quickly. I know I only have 20 minutes because of the hour-long sermonette, so we'll be okay. No, I thought he did rather well on time. So. All right, so point number one, to know him, to know God. He wants us to remember the Sabbath day, to remember him so we can see him more clearly, to build a proper relationship with him. In honoring the Sabbath day and remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we are remembering our Creator. We're remembering, we are getting to know him even better. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, again, he had to remind them of the importance of the Sabbath. But notice how he did it. He did it in a way that really shows his love and his mercy. He didn't slaughter them in anger when they forgot or when they tested things improperly or a little rebellious. But he taught them with a very easily understandable example with gathering food. That shows God's love. It shows his mercy. Also, you know, God introduced the principle of a preparation day. You get ready for the Sabbath in advance. So, you know, they had to gather double on that day. But with us, you know, we want to take care of things on Friday. Maybe we do work a little extra so that when the Sabbath comes, we get to rest a little extra as well as God intended. I don't mean on Friday we're, you know, running ourselves ragged where we just collapse on Saturday. We're just so tired we can't even go to church. You know, we're just totally exhausted. Can't do anything. But there's more of an emphasis on that Friday and thinking we're preparing for the Sabbath. But, you know, what would you have done if you noticed someone else was, you know, gathering more than what they should have on a different day or not gathering enough? I mean, would we be merciful? God is very merciful with how he taught this. But it does reiterate God's love and how he was able to teach them in properly remembering. He's a very patient teacher, and he reiterates to them the Sabbath commandment, in which he was already teaching them, but he reiterates that at Mount Sinai. Let's turn to Exodus 20 and verse 8. We can hold our... where are we at right now? Yeah, we'll turn to Exodus 20. We're not far. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Here he's reiterating what he had been teaching them in the wilderness. The law was very familiar to them. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, if something is to be holy, it connects God with whatever that something is. Only God can make something holy, as we are well aware. But it means that God is involved in this day. If it's holy, if it's set apart, God is involved in this day. And we remember the Sabbath and we remember God's involvement in this day. God set it apart. God hallowed it. He is involved. You know, he is involved in this day unlike any of the other days. He has set it apart. It is holy. And in verse 11, it is emphasized in verse 11, as it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So he hallowed it. He made it holy. And the word hollow or hallowed is the same Hebrew word as holy, kadosh, and it means setting it apart, consecrating it, pointing it, appointing it, dedicating it, hallowing it, keeping it holy, sanctifying it, among other words. So, you know, when we think about that term and holy, you think it is special. It is a special day. He has set it apart. He has hallowed it. And he's done this from the very beginning, from the seventh day in the very beginning. And we can hold our place here in Exodus 20 as we turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 1. So from the very beginning, he hallowed this day. He set it apart. He made it holy. Genesis 2 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that, I don't want to read this entire section. Actually, I wanted to jump down to 2 and verse 1. I apologize. That's why I was off. I was 1 in verse 1. Genesis 2 and verse 1. And we'll get to the seventh day and him setting it apart. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts of them were finished the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God ended his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So he sanctified it, he made it holy, he hallowed it, and he set it apart. It is very special. He did this from the very beginning. And the word sanctified is the same word as hallowed or holy, kadesh, to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, hallowed, to be holy, sanctified, separate. So again, this day is special, and it's special to God. And he is involved. You know, this first point in talking about knowing God through the Sabbath and remembering the Sabbath day properly. But if we think about it, he is very involved in this day. He was involved in this day from the very beginning. Let's go back to Exodus 20 and verse 8. And I'd like to break down this section. Exodus 20 and verse 8. So very specific details in keeping the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and what it entails in remembering to keep the Sabbath day holy. And it is interesting where the emphasis is. Again, kind of seeing God's motivation for setting this day apart. And it is a blessing. But Exodus 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember. Now, this word remember has dual meaning. First of all, it shows that they had the Sabbath before this time. They were familiar with the Sabbath. He's been teaching them as well. So it wasn't foreign to them. You know, we read about their trek through the wilderness. They learned about God's Sabbath day. And then God made a covenant with them later on and reminded them about the Sabbath day and how important the Sabbath day was. So, you know, it lets us know that, one, they were to remember something that they were already familiar with. And number two, the dual meaning here means remember to think about the Sabbath day by day, to remember it, to prepare for it, to anticipate it, to look forward to it as holy time. Is it on our minds? Is it something that we look forward to throughout the week? Or is it something that sneaks up on us and then before you know it, we're scrambling or we think, does a car have gas in the car? Do we, you know, wait a minute, it's sundown. We don't even have the license plate on the cars yet for the, you know, we got our new license plate. They're sitting there. You know, so little things, but little things that, you know, if we take that extra time too, we're trying to show honor to God. You know, but we want to be thinking about it. We want it to be cognizant in our minds in remembering the Sabbath day. You know, there for a while when Stephen was little, he was so cognizant. I guess we had kind of drilled it in his mind, you know, when the Sabbath day was. But he was so cognizant every day. He was first question, is it the Sabbath today? You know, so of course we had to teach him a little bit more about 1 and 7. But he did realize that there was one day that was different than all of the other days, you know. But it was kind of cute to us, you know, every morning. Morning, Dad. Is it the Sabbath today? You know, I've watched my normal cartoons or, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, are we aware? And that's, you know, are we cognizant? Do we remember? The next part of this verse, keep. So we have remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this is a reminder that there is something we are to be responsible with on this day, something we are to keep, something we do on the Sabbath. To keep it holy. It's proof as well that you can't make another day holy that has not already been set apart as holy. You know, you're keeping this particular day holy. He made that time holy. So if I gave you a pot of cold water and I said, okay, I want you to keep this cold water hot. So can you do that? Can you keep cold water hot? If you understand what I'm saying, I know it's kind of confusing. So, how can you keep something hot if it never was hot to begin with? So if someone comes along, we know the Catholic Church came and changed the day and said, well, it's no longer this day. We keep this day instead, and we have the authority to do so. Well, we know that God is the only one that has the authority to make something holy. And, we can't make a different day something it's not. So there's emphasis to keep this particular time, keep this day holy. But it is probable, too, that God used the Sabbath, this particular holy time, to teach Adam and Eve a way of life. On the Sabbath, he undoubtedly taught them what to obey, how to follow him, introducing them to the tree of life and warning them of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And basically, I guess we could say the tree of self-determination. I'll learn it myself. I'll do it my own way. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. But from the beginning, this day was holy. God says, remember it and to keep it that way. Moving on to verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So working through the rest of the week is essential. We want to work the best that we can. If the best that we can work and do, we want to be doers. And tests have confirmed this, that it is essential. And one day in seven for rest and drawing close to God is perfect. Again, tests have confirmed that. Being vigorous to the other 6 days, we really can deeply appreciate the Sabbath. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So, aha, the wife can work, right? Kind of leaves her out. So, everybody else doesn't work, but the wife still works on the Sabbath. No, it's not. You read all the other commentaries, and it's basically head of household, man and wife, they're one. That wife or wives in that time, they were all one, and it was included in by saying you. So, no one is to work on the Sabbath. And it is interesting, even the animals, they weren't to be worked. So God is giving rest even to the animals. That's a wonderful thing. I'm sure if they could talk, they would say thank you or give me more food or whatever. He cares about his creation, even the cattle, even the animals. We're given a day of rest, not work them in the field. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Before I go on to verse 11, I do want to mention, too, as far as those who are not to work, the stranger who is within your gates. So when that stranger came within the gates, they were not to work. And we can apply this in this day and age. If there's a visitor, I guess let's say one example, there was an individual and he was having issues with family. Of course, he was over the age of 18, but he was maybe not going to be able to live where he's going to live, so he's going to be homeless. And he was asking if he could stay with us for a little bit. And so, talked to my mom and dad, ended up calling our minister at the time and asking for counsel there, And, his advice, if your parents are okay with it. However, if he's going to be living with you throughout a long period of time in that way, he has to also know you keep the Sabbath. And within your house is going to be different than other places. And so that there was going to be that respect because he was in your gate, so to speak. And so, you know, that can even be applied in this day and age. We also think about those that own their own business and employ other individuals. That's different. We don't go chase down the mailman on Saturday morning. Don't deliver here, you know, on Saturday. They're going, we do not employ them. That's not, we're not their boss. And so they're going to do that regardless. Same with those that check your meters. Maybe they do that or keep the electricity going in the home. But if you own your own business, you know, we're not not paying Bob and John to go build houses on the Sabbath and it's your business, that's a different thing. So there's much to learn even within this, you know, very applicable, even in this day and age, in this set of scripture. And then verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God set the example for us. And look at what he did. And he doesn't need the rest. He has infinity energy and power. But he set that example for us. And he blessed it. He made it special. And it's wonderful that we serve a loving God in this way. So how does this help us to know God better? You know, when we look at the details for the Sabbath, you know, how do we recognize that this day was set apart in love for us? You know, it does help us in recognizing the motive for doing it. The emphasis is to provide rest to us, 1 in 7 days, and to give us needed rest. But it's a blessing from God, and his motivation is to give us, recognize we are physical and that we actually need that rest in the way that he made us. Deuteronomy 5 in verse 12. Part of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12, is to remember who provides the blessings, who is giving us this wonderful blessing. There's emphasis that God is involved. He provides it, and he's looking out for us. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. We'll drop down to verse 15. There's that word again. And remember, don't forget, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, for us, we think about how he delivered us from sin, how he delivered us from the world. And we'd be right back with everybody else doing whatever everybody else is doing if he didn't call us out, if he didn't deliver us, if he didn't give us freedom to depart from sin. So part of this day, we think about God's involvement, think about God delivering us. We remember his involvement, that he delivered us from sin, and we remember this week after week. And when people lose the Sabbath, they lose sight of the true God. They don't really grasp who he is. They lose sight of him. They don't understand. They don't have that as close of that relationship with God. The Jews and Israelites both turned their backs on God. And God had, you know, he didn't have to, but he chose to let them go into captivity. They forgot who provided them the blessings. You know, they weren't just turning their back on the Sabbath. They were turning their back on the one who provided them the Sabbath. They lost sight of God and all that he provided with them. I didn't talk with Mr. Martin ahead of time on the messages. But, you know, when he started going into remembering where the blessings come from, remembering who provides the wealth, I just thought it's going to fit so perfectly in this because it is about remembering who provides what. And that relationship with God, when they turn their back on the Sabbath, they turn their back on God, and that relationship was broken. And, you know, it shows how much this mattered to God. I mean, you think about the punishment was rather severe. I'll turn to two final scriptures in this first point, and then we'll move on. Jeremiah 17, in verse 21. God addresses Judah and for the way that they were keeping the Sabbath, and he gives them a warning. Blessings, to keep it the right way, and severe consequences if they neglected it. And they neglected it. Jeremiah 17 and verse 21. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourself, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out on the houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And then he goes on to mention, now if you heed me carefully, you know, then the blessings, dot, dot, dot. Verse 17, or verse 27, we'll drop down. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The very stiff punishment that also shows how God is involved in this Sabbath day and how much it means to him. You know, God is very passionate about the Sabbath day. Again, because not only is it just because, you know, he sets this day for us to keep and he just, you know, that's what he wants. But it is a part of this relationship that he is helping us to build with him. And it's kind of like smacking him in the face, so to speak. It's a disrespect and it's offensive. Ezekiel 20 in verse 11. They were in captivity at this point, but why were they in captivity? And it was because they had greatly polluted the Sabbath. One of those reasons why. We'll start in verse 12 of Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. So, again, another very stiff punishment, which it shows how greatly he does value the Sabbath and the meaning and that he's very passionate about this day. Drop down to verse 19. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. So again, we know that the Sabbath is a test commandment, and he wants to know, will we obey him? He wants to be able to say, now I know. Now I know. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you. You know, there's a relationship here. This is between me and you. Keep them, and it's a sign between me. You've been set apart. You're a chosen generation. They may know that I am the Lord your God. That you may know that I am the Lord your God. So you talk about knowing God and that relationship, and as a sign between God and his chosen people, you know, the same principle applies today. And the Sabbath, we are to remember the Sabbath as a means to know God. Point number two, to honor God, we remember the Sabbath day to show honor to God. The Sabbath is very important to the God family. Isaiah 53 in verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. I apologize if I said 53:13. Isaiah 58:13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And speaking of honoring God, which is part of why we remember the Sabbath day. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasures on my Sabbath day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he has definitely blessings tied to the obedience of the Sabbath. And he says that he will pour out blessings. But part of that is because we are setting aside this time to honor the creator of the universe, to honor our Father in heaven. Not finding our own pursuits, not seeking our own pleasures. After we leave here today, if the kids ask to go on the Ferris wheel on the way out, we're not going. You know, so why? Because we don't do our own thing on the Sabbath. You know, we teach our children this. And we're going to honor God. Honoring God is more important than riding the Ferris wheel, which they didn't ask. I just, you know, when you can't miss it coming in today, you're like, okay, there's a carnival outside of the mall today. So, but we don't do our own thing. We don't do our own pursuits on this day. But there are about 26 translations, and it's kind of interesting in how they translate this particular verse about not doing your own pleasure. But the Bible in American translation puts it this way: not doing your own business as opposed to pleasure. It says following your accustomed way. A New American Bible puts it this way: not following your own pursuits, not following your own ways. Another one from the Modern Language Bible, New Berkeley edition, says, do not tramp upon the Sabbath by doing your own business. So there was a very good sermon probably 10 years ago I heard by Mr. Arnold Hampton. It says, take your shoes off, I think is what it was. You know, don't trample on the Sabbath day. Take your shoes off. And throughout the sermon, he just kept emphasizing, take your shoes off. You know, it's holy time, and it's we're on holy ground, so to speak. But we don't want to trample the Sabbath, disrespect it. The New English Bible says, keep my holy days free from your own affairs. It goes on to say, not seeking your own interests or attending to your own affairs. New Jerusalem Bible says, keep your foot from doing business on the holy day by abstaining from travel, doing your own business, and from gossip. And it talks about speaking your own words and not gossiping. But we shouldn't gossip any time for that matter. But you get the point and the emphasis to honor God on the Sabbath day. We abstain from doing our own thing. And it's because, as it says in verse 13, it is to bring honor to God. What about the land Sabbath and how is that linked to honoring God? Leviticus 25 in verse 1. Respect for the land. Is it really just respect for the land? Mother Earth, as they would say today? No, it's honor to God, and God blesses the land because we're showing honor to God. Leviticus 25 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath, solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your unattended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. This is to show honor to God. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, for your male, female servants, for your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you. For your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its produce shall be for food. So do you think that Moses was excited to explain this to Israel? You know, here in the seventh year, you're going to have to rest land. What are we going to do? We're going to starve. I guess you can kind of imagine how that conversation might have gone. But there are provisions he even provides. Verse 18, so you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow or gather in our produce? So I think he anticipated how that conversation might go. And he had an answer. Then I will command my blessings on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. Not only that next year, but the following year. Or enough for 3 years. So it could be that year, the next year, and the next year. So you think, wow, you know, that's definitely a test commandment. But lest they be concerned in that 6 year to have, you know, triple the amount. You think, whoa, okay. We see God's hand in this. He is really providing for us. So don't worry. He's, you know, he doesn't want them to be anxious to even give them that much incentive and reward for obeying. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat old produce until the ninth year. Until his produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. So God was going to provide. And, you know, it's not just the land. It's the honoring of God through the land that is the point. Part of Cain's curse for dishonoring his brother, for murdering his brother, who's made in God's image, was a curse of the land. And he said this is a burden that's too much for him to handle. But it says, we won't turn there, but it says that the earth received the blood of his brother, and Cain was going to be cursed. The land was no longer going to yield its strength. And it was because of this dishonor and disrespect to his brother Abel, murdering and disrespect, ultimately dishonoring God through the murdering of his brother. So, you know, if we trample the Sabbath by doing our own pleasure or dishonor God, we go golfing or you name it, you think about it, whatever it is, go to parties, worldly social events, do our normal shopping, play video games. We do our own thing. We're trampling on the Sabbath. We are dishonoring God. So we have to ask ourselves, do my actions bring honor to God? Point number three, to assemble as a congregation. These are holy convocations to the Lord. The Sabbath was one of those holy days listed to assemble. And that is a main purpose, is for us to assemble. We've been asked to be here. We've been invited to be here. It's a privilege. Acts 18 and verse 4. I know you're thinking we will never get 7 points in the allowed time, but these will go quickly. You'll see. Acts 18 and verse 4. Acts 18 and verse 4. We're talking about Paul and what he did on the Sabbath and how often he did this on the Sabbath. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. He taught, he instructed, and he taught that Jesus Christ was the Savior. He was the Messiah. Paul was dedicated to giving instructions. How long? How often? Verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when we come here, we assemble as a congregation. We've been invited to this holy convocation that's been set apart, and we strive to learn. Learn what? Learn God's word being taught. In 2 Timothy, we're told, preach the word, because there's coming a time where men will have itching ears. They won't want to hear God's word. Preach the word. So it does take time to receive instruction. Week after week, we have to be reminded. We cover certain doctrines that remind us. There are certain annual holy days that we are to speak in due season and have that meet in due season. And it's the same message and the same point. Obviously, different messages within that focus, but there is a focus he wants us to remember. And we assemble as a congregation this holy convocation to be taught and to remember this day. Now, it also helps us to remember, too, you know, that there's a priority to keep this invitation. If he's going to invite us here, you know, we do want to make it a priority. We won't say, well, I have a bad hair day today, and so I can't be at services this week. It's kind of a funny story with Katie growing up, and she was younger, her and her sisters, and her mother had bought a really, I don't know what the right word would be. The conditioner was like super powerful. I guess that's the best word I can say. It was, it really would condition your hair, just a small amount, and it would really condition your hair. And so she kind of left him in there to take in baths. You know, she was little at the time and walked away. Well, they decided they feel the texture of this new conditioner. It was kind of greasy. And when you put it in your hair, you could make it do whatever you wanted to, mohawk, whatever, you know. And you just dump the whole thing out and use it on each other's hair for, you know. So she comes in. And like I said, just a little bit would do the trick. And the entire bottle was used up on each girl's hair. And so, okay, we're rinsing the hair out, you know, about 100 times. Still as greasy as could be and could not make you do whatever. So the next morning, it's Sabbath morning. You know, you talk about maybe not having a good hair day and going to church. But so the next morning, I washed it out thoroughly again and kept washing it. Just would not do anything. So they were able to kind of like mafia style, I think, slick it back really tight and put in a really tight bun. They were going to church. So, you know, they still kept the priority. You know, they weren't going to, no excuses, going to church. And so they went. And then after joining the mafia several years later, you know, they really fit in well. But anyways, no excuses. There's a holy convocation. We've been invited. It's a priority to be here. Point number four, we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We want to fellowship. God wants us to remember to fellowship. And we need to. We need it. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there is a need to be here. Now, there's one individual in the church who had a friend who came from Wisconsin who is Catholic, and she was visiting. She said, I've got to go to church. Where is the nearest church? This is because the Catholics teach if you miss their services without being sick or having a valid reason, it's considered a mortal sin. And if you die without repenting, you'll go straight to hell. So this mortal sin was to miss church. Now, what do we say about missing services? It's not what we say, but we certainly know that we are commanded to be here and that we are to fellowship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And sure, there are many reasons that we could stay home. Could I listen at home? We could. We could very well listen at home. With technology, we could very easily stay at home, webcast. Could we get a CD afterwards? Definitely could. We could get a CD or maybe even MP3. We just send it to them. You know, could we say, well, I'd just be 1 week behind. I'd be 1 week behind this week if I just missed. We could say that as well. But why don't we do that? Why don't we make those excuses? Why are we here week after week? Why are we here? Well, one reason is, you know, how could we influence anyone else with our example by being at home? We need each other. And again, I've said it before, there's no such thing as an independent Christian. It contradicts itself. We are together. We are one body, but interdependent on one another, and we need each other. Point number five. We remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because it pictures the coming kingdom of God, that future rest to come. When Christ reigns and his rulership is established and his kingdom is set up, the Sabbath rest that we partake in foreshadows that time to come. It's that millennial rest, and this is a type of that millennial rest. You know, we think about this too. It's kind of interesting, I think, when we think about preparing for the Sabbath each week. You know, when we think about Christ's return, and we are to be aware, we are to be alert, we are to be watchful, we are to be prepared, be like, you know, the having oil in our lamps. So we are to be this way with Christ's return and being watchful at the start of that new time, but throughout the week. So we should be aware, we should be thoughtful, we should be thinking about the Sabbath throughout the week and preparing for the Sabbath, especially since the Sabbath is that type of millennial rest. Hebrews 4 and verse 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Again, he set the example. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And the Greek word here is sabbatismos, and it's translated rest in the New King James Version. Other translations, American Standard Version, English Standard Version, translates it Sabbath rest or Sabbath keeping. And so there is a rest to come that signifies that weekly Sabbath rest, a future spiritual rest, which equates the seventh day Sabbath to that future rest. In this last week's In Accord, Mr. Kylo mentioned that there's one, if there's one main thing we think about God's holy days and the annual Sabbaths and the regular Sabbaths, is that they orient ourselves and help us to align ourselves with God's Word, so that our purpose is more along that straight and narrow path leading to eternal life. So God's Sabbath is a way of aligning ourselves with His plan for us, walking as Christ walked, following in the example that God the Father set in resting on this day. This is a Sabbath rest that we participate in now that foreshadows that future spiritual rest to come. Point number six, the Sabbath reminds us of God's creation as being our creator. You know, when we go for a walk in the morning and we enjoy nature and we take a closer look at God's creation, we're reminded this is a part of His creation. You know, sometimes the little boys, they'll do those YES lessons. You can download those. And they were doing that this morning, and actually the lesson was on 7 days of creation. And so they learn about this too. But we think about creation from the very beginning, and God used, you know, that as a mean to teach us. In creating, He could have created the Sabbath day at a different time, but He created it as a part of His creation, and there's emphasis there. Exodus 20 and verse 11, we've already gone there. We'll read it again. Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So heart of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we think about what he did in creation. We think about creation. We think about his handiwork and how he blessed and hallowed this day. The Sabbath reminds us of God's creation and him as our creator. Point number 7, remember the Sabbath is a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath is a day of rest. The word for rest, Shabbat, means rest, and it is a day of rest. So there may be some days that some Sabbaths that we might rest more than others. Maybe we had a horribly exhausting week and we need to rest a little more. Or maybe we spend more time enjoying fellowship and spending time with the brethren and having a meal, sharing a meal. But then there's maybe certain times where we are able to focus more on studying, Bible study, prayer. And so it's a time of rest, but it's also a time to be rejuvenated and have spiritual rejuvenation. One final scripture to conclude. We remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We remember God's motivation for us keeping the Sabbath day and in asking us to keep the Sabbath day holy and remembering this day. Mark 2 and verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27. Christ's own words, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The motivation in giving us the Sabbath day, it is a test commandment. Will we obey? There will be blessings to follow. But he gave it to us as a gift. He didn't create the Sabbath first and say, what am I going to do with this Sabbath? Maybe I'll create man for the Sabbath day that I created. He created the Sabbath for man with that thought in mind. The motivation was there to give that to us as a gift. And we live in a world that is very hectic. We need this gift. We need to partake in this gift, especially in some of the larger cities. It'd be very hectic, very busy work weeks. Stress is a major issue. Today, most Americans don't even take their vacation time. Maybe they'll take a week off in a year, and even though they have a surplus of vacation time. And, you know, we need the rest. We can be running so hard, trying to get so much more done, that we can forget what is important. God has given us a cure for that. And he tells us that we shouldn't try to fit everything into our schedule. Rather, we plan our schedule around his schedule. And it works out, amazingly enough, in prioritizing. You know, his schedule says, don't get so strung out that you forget my Sabbath. This may seem backward to the rest of the world. It may seem weird to prioritize in that way. But the fact is, if we don't remember such a valuable gift, we don't prioritize our actions according to God's will, our actions could possibly stink like worms that have affected manna. It could be offensive to God. It could stink. This is not because God thinks horribly of us or he thinks we're disgusting creatures, but it's because God does love us so much. He's given us this very precious gift, and if we trample on that gift, it's going to stink. It could be offensive. As we started out saying, smells ring bells. So let's all make sure that we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Prepare for the Sabbath day as God has intended. Rejoice in this day. Look forward to this day. Prepare for this day. Anticipate this time as he has set it apart for our gain, for our understanding, for our benefit, and so that we get to know our Creator even better. It's a special gift from God.